The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Well, into another week. Thanks for being with us. Chairman of the board is Tyzik. Anything goes wrong, it's his fault 100%. Brad Sessmatt with you. Thank you for jumping on board. We are coming up on year 15 of Sports 360 AZ next month. Very excited about that. Doubly excited. This is the last week before we get into football season. And look, I'm in all sports. I'm not paying attention to the Diamondbacks and all that stuff. But I don't know. I think this year in Arizona is going to be interesting. Some years you look at and you say, wow, is this going to be a train wreck? Like, guys, let's start doing stuff on next year's draft now. Well, Daniel the Draftnik is going to be with us today because it's the start of the college football season. So let's hear about some of the hopefuls. Five guys that he's looking at saying, pay attention to them. I am not anticipating the Cardinals to have a great season. Many of you don't like hearing that. You want me to say, oh, go team. Yay. Big red. No, I'm not expecting Arizona State to have a huge season. I'm not doing forks up. I'm expecting U of A to possibly have a good season, but I'm not going to say bear down because I don't care. I don't root. I will never, ever, ever root. There's a good story. I'll root for a good story. But I don't sit here every week and say, boy, I hope they win. Oh, I hope they win. I hope they win. No. It's not what journalism is. We are not fandoms here or into the fandom stuff. But you are, and it's fine. It's fine. You may disagree, agree. It all works out. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you. Taking care of your business, as always and through the years, that's Desert Financial Credit Union, and we do appreciate their support. Today's show, John Wilner, Wilner Hotline. The AP poll is out. John is an AP pollster, and the Heisman is going to go through a makeover. Now, some people don't believe the Heisman is as valuable as it once was. John's a voter. I'm a voter. I still believe in it. But they want to open it up to a fan vote. I don't know if that's a great idea or not. I think it's nothing more than trying to push us to say, well, the fans must say that this guy is the greatest ever. Well, they won't vote for anybody in the SEC is not going to vote. Any fan in the SEC, let me be straight about this. Any fan in the SEC is not going to vote for a quarterback on the West Coast. It's not happening. Any Big Ten fan. Could you imagine Ohio State fans saying, I'm going to vote for Michigan? I'm going to vote for a Michigan player. Or an Alabama fan saying, I think the Texas quarterback, even though he is the best. So that is a way to get interaction, to get metrics, to go sell to some people about, look at all the people that came to our website, even though they have no clue, for the most part. Some of you do. It's not like I'm sitting here on top of the mountain saying you guys don't know it. But I've just learned through the years that fandom kills everything. Objectivity, out the window. If a U of A player, if Noah Fafita deserved the Heisman Trophy, okay, no way I could get an Arizona State fan to admit that. When Cam Scataboo deserved, and I voted for him for the Heisman Trophy, I couldn't find a University of Arizona Wildcat fan anywhere that agreed with that. Only because that's where they went to school, which makes zero sense. Zero. What we see on the field is where we put our attention, not where we have a piece of paper from. So I don't like that. And the AP poll is out. I'll just give you a little sneak peek. No Arizona State, no Arizona. Now, I think if you look at Arizona and Noah Fafita coming back for his senior year, and he's been there all along, they should be ranked. Arizona State, I can make the argument that, you know, do they really have a quarterback? Do they really have a player like a Cam Scataboo off the field? Not on the field, off the field. Somebody that unites and brings everybody together. I don't know. You can always say, oh, everything's great. Forks up, go Devils and all that. But you don't know. What is a good season? I had a big cigar text me last night. He was up at Camp Tonizone. He says, we're going to win 8 games, maybe 9. Okay. Great. What if you only win 6? Bad season? Oh, my gosh. What are we doing? We're paying all this money to all these. I don't know. Maybe it's because you don't have a quarterback this year because the one left and you have to bring in new ones. That's how it works every year. There's got to be a lot of hope if you're an ASU fan, a lot of hope. Because I don't think there's a clear answer on that. Oh, well, this guy looked good at Camp T. Great. I'm sure he did. Let's see how he looks when he's at Texas A&M with 100,000 fans on top of him rooting for the Aggies. Let's see how it looks when they're over in Europe a week later. Let's see when the bullets truly fly how these guys are under pressure, not how they look in the forest on a Saturday morning with a bunch of their friends and family and girlfriends. It's like, what are we doing? Let me think, what else? Loved seeing Amari Stoudemire and Mike D'Antoni, but even more so Amari going into the Basketball Hall of Fame on Saturday. I wrote about it. It's over on Sports 360. Amari gets drafted. He comes to the studio at KTAR. He sits with me for a half hour the very first night. Scared kid. Eric Sorensen's there producing. I was talking to Eric about this over the weekend. We both remember Amari coming in, and now we see Amari in the post-life and how he has taken it and just thrived. We've had Amari on the show a few times. He's in sports ownership. He played overseas. He's found his faith. He's not just wandering around saying, what am I going to do to get attention? Like a lot of lost souls, a lot of players when they're done playing. And it was so cool to see like Steve Nash and Sean Marion and that whole group of players, you know, that's a different time. Throwback type of time. Where you could walk in there. I remember we're in San Antonio and I'm talking with Steve Nash. And this is when everything went down with the Spurs. It was before it happened. And myself, I think Dan was there, Bickley, and I think it was someone from the New York Times. And we're just talking to Steve about Amari, and there's some stuff about Amari not being fully engaged. And Steve says, yeah, we just got to get out of the playpen. I was like, what? Wow. So everybody said that was great. The best teams have some red ass on them. The best teams have some sandpaper on them. That's how it is. That's how it is. 2001 Diamondbacks, a lot of red ass, a lot of sandpaper. You got 25 guys trying to pull 25 the rope the same way, but some of those 25 guys are on different islands with different agendas and different agents, and yet somehow they found a way to make it all work out. So it was cool to see the Suns get honored in that way. I thought Diana Taurasi last night being honored was cool. Those of you that aren't a fan of the WNBA, and there are many of you, it's a choice. It's really not that hard just to go if you don't like it. I sat here yesterday and watched Caitlin Clark do her thing, and she was so good. She was so good, and she made some dumb passes. They make dumb passes in the NBA. I wasn't overly impressed with Angel Reese yesterday. Wasn't overly impressed with the officiating, but it's still, the WNBA has its place. And the fact that we are seeing backlash and people rip that league apart is good. You're going to get through this time. Media doesn't like it. Fox News, CNN, they want to take it apart from different political views. And all the girls need to do is just keep playing. Diana being an owner for Phoenix would be great. Doesn't mean it's a guaranteed. Did Michael Jordan work out as an owner? Not really. You never know. In the Diamondbacks, the expectation of them to go out and win every game rather than, hey, they took two of three from Atlanta. Let's just be happy with that. Or it was a bad pitch thrown yesterday right down Broadway, and that ended up costing them the game in Atlanta. Well, now they're in Boston. And yeah, they're behind San Diego and they're behind Philadelphia. Control what you can control. Get out there, take care of business. They're a fun team to watch. I find them to be embraceable. And I don't sit there and blame the manager for yesterday, even though the manager is becoming more and more. It's interesting how, like, Bob Nightingale, and I like Bob, I've known Bob forever, has Torrey on the hot seat. Yeah, I think there's going to be a hot seat here, but I think it should be the general manager more than that. That's what I've got that's on my mind. We'll take a break. And on the other side, it will be John Wilner, Wilner Hotline, followed by Daniel the Draftnik. I'm Brad Sussmat. John Wilner with us for a few minutes now. We're going to need about an hour because some stuff has come out already today where I'm a Heisman voter, John is a Heisman voter. The Heisman people have decided, you know, let's open it up to the fans. What a great idea. I have no problem with that other than, well, I'm guessing that if LSU has a Heisman Trophy candidate, they're going to get more of a push than if U of A has a Heisman Trophy candidate. I'm guessing that if Navy had a Heisman Trophy candidate, that the Michigan candidate would far exceed, or the Ohio State. John, this idea today of the fan vote and it's being released before the vote by the media is a way to me of saying they want to influence us. They want to pressure us to give in what the fans want. Is this true, John?
Well, I think they certainly want more engagement. You know, the Heisman is kind of struggling for relevance in some ways. I know people make a big deal, but it's not what it was. And the playoff has, I think, you know, marginalized it a little bit because so much of the way we document and think about the season now is based on the playoff. 12-team playoff. There's a lot going on after the Heisman has already been awarded. And if it goes to 24 teams, there will be even more, right? Some teams will play 4 or 5 games after the Heisman is awarded. So I think this is one of many steps they're going to take to be relevant. You know, they're incorporating the fans. Yeah, I mean, it's certainly going to be like an SEC-dominated fan vote for sure.
Yeah,
I don't know how many of the media voters are going to pay much attention. I'm not going to pay much attention, but it is interesting that they are doing this in conjunction with like this platform they're creating that will allow fans to engage with the players. You'll get statistics, all that kind of thing. It's just kind of a grab for relevance.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that. The AP poll came out this morning. And there is no Arizona team listed in the top 25. Are you surprised by this, John?
Not really. Now, we first should say I am a Heisman voter, and my preseason ballot did have the Wildcats. And honestly, I think they were like 2021-ish. I don't AP have it voter. In front of me.
You're an AP voter.
I am, yeah. What did I say? Yes.
You said Heisman. It's okay.
Well, I'm
it's
both, great. Actually.
Yes, you are.
So I'm an AP voter. My ballot had Arizona somewhere around 20. I'm not that surprised because Arizona is just not really on the radar. You know, I think it's on football, right? If you had another team in the Big Ten or SEC that was coming off, what did they win, 9 games last year, 10 games last year, and they're bringing back their starting quarterback, that team would be a no-brainer for the preseason poll. No-brainer whatsoever. Right. But Arizona is not a prominent football school, so people don't necessarily think about them. Plus, they've had the up-and-down seasons. They have never, you know, it's been a decade since they were good back-to-back years. Maybe that played a role. I am not surprised they're not in it. Should they be in it? Yes, I think they should, for sure. There were 4 Big 12 schools. Utah, Houston.
Four.
4 out of 25.
The disrespect.
Utah, Houston, Texas Tech, and BYU.
Disrespect. Oh, we're so disrespected. We are being slept on. That's all I'm going to hear about.
Well, yeah, you'll hear some of that from the Big 12. No doubt there were 9 SEC teams, 8 Big 10 teams, plus Notre Dame. So 18 out of the 25 spots went to the biggest schools. Big 12 had 4. You know, I'm not surprised. The issue with the Big 12 is that it doesn't have anybody in the top 10. Yeah. And that reflects the Big 12's broader problem of producing an elite team that's going to win a game in the playoff. It has parity. It's got a lot of quality teams. But the lack of an elite team is something the Big, you know, the ACC at least has got Miami, made it to the national championship game. Big 12 does not have an equivalent of Miami yet. That is something to watch this season. It desperately needs to win a playoff game.
Before I get you out of here, I want to get ahead on games. I would like this to be the start of the season this week. I think it should be the start of the season. It's not. But I'm looking at Bill Belichick. As a storyline this season, it appears to me that this is going to be the biggest car crash of the season from my point of view. Is this a train wreck at North Carolina? Do you think he makes it through the season? Or do you think he's actually going to make the playoff with this team?
I definitely don't think they're going to make the playoff. I think they may be a little better than last season, But that's still far from what North Carolina expected when they hired him. I mean, last year started on that TCU game was just, they got obliterated. And by November, they were actually respectable on defense. They ended up winning, what, four games, I think. Could they get to six this year? I don't know. Their schedule's harder than it was. They got to play TCU over in Europe to start the season. Yep. I think that they are in for a mediocre year, which is not what anybody would have expected. The issue, though, is Carolina going to buy the guy out of his contract after just 2 years? That I don't see. Do I see him just kind of packing it up and saying I'm done voluntarily? And then they negotiate some kind of settlement. Maybe if it is a train wreck, maybe that's what happens. But I don't see him, you know, actually getting fired.
That is John Wilner delivering the goods. Wilner Hotline on sports360az.com. We'll see you next week. Thanks.
Thanks, Brent.
Part of the college football season means the NFL fans are saying, what does Daniel the Draftnik think? So it's time to bring him back. Year number three?
I had to think about it for a second. Yeah.
Daniel the Draftnik with us. Okay, so let's go through this. The way that it lays out at the top of the draft, it appears, as we're sitting here in late August, that it's going to be Dante Moore. Am I correct on that assumption, or do you think they're going to go another direction? If it's Dante Moore, what is it about him that makes him the number one, Daniel?
Yeah, it's honestly a toss-up depending on who you ask. It's kind of Arch Manning, Dante Moore, but I'm a big believer in Dante Moore, and it's just the touch that he has on his passes. He is a very aggressive thrower. He knows how to layer the ball over the defense. He attacks the seam well. He had a big throw percentage of 6.9% last season. Very, very exciting player. The one thing I would kind of knock him on is turnovers. Had 7 lost fumbles last year and 10 interceptions last season, so you want to see him cut those down a little bit. But he has everything you want out of a quarterback. Can operate from under center as well. So I'm very happy he went back to Oregon because I think he definitely needed it after that Indiana loss, but excited to kind of see how he can bounce back and improve even more this season.
All right, let's go from Dante Moore then over to the University of Arizona. A lot of Wildcat fans excited. I'm already getting hit up for, hey, Brad, who's your Heisman vote going to be for Noah Fifita? I think that's a tough call just because of the lack of national attention. But Fifita is one of those rare birds, so to speak, Daniel, that he's starting and finishing at the same college.
Yeah, it's very rare. But when you kind of look at Noah Fifita, I mean, he has everything you kind of want out of a quarterback, kind of the same things as I said with Moore. He's a pretty good pocket passer. I think that he shows tremendous touch on the ball, especially when faced with pressure. I think that's something that a lot of people don't kind of give him credit for. Yes, he is smaller. He is listed at 5'10", 189 pounds. Is that true? Probably not. He is a little bit smaller, which hurts him, looking kind of at that NFL landscape. But in terms of this next college football season, there's no reason people shouldn't be excited for him. First team all Big 12 last season, set a program record of 29 touchdowns. So Noah Fifita, I'm really excited to kind of see how he can grow. It's speaking of the NFL draft, probably not a first round guy, but if he puts up another good season, I think he definitely could be more of that mid round to kind of late round guy that we get excited about the draft process in the spring.
Yeah. And we'll go through it throughout the year on the quarterbacks. I just want to get a couple out of the way. Let's go over to Leonard Moore at Notre Dame. What do you see? What do you like? What do you think?
When you talk about the top players in this class, cornerback play is so fun to watch, especially when you're watching a good one. If I were to rank this class right now, it's probably Jeremiah Smith, and Leonard Moore is right there behind him. He is a fantastic player, 3-star recruit out of Texas, and that just goes to show the Notre Dame's ability to develop talent. He only played in 10 games last season, Brad, and he led the team in 5 interceptions, had 7 pass breakups. His ball production is outstanding. The length he has is very suffocating. You go back and watch last year, he absolutely locked up Mekhi Lemon, who we all know went in the first round of last year's draft. So I think Leonard Moore is a fantastic player. Was also a 2025 unanimous All-American. So he is a very fantastic talent.
I've been hearing Cam Coleman's name forever, it feels like, all the way back in the recruiting days. That this is the next. This is the dude. What do you think, this year's draft?
I wouldn't disagree. I think he is that dude. I think, you know, you look at this receiver class, I think it's Jeremiah Smith, and honestly, not too far behind is that Cam Coleman. He's 6'3", 200 pounds. He has the size of an NFL receiver. He has everything you want. His hands are electric. High points the ball. He really knows how to run his routes. I'm just excited to see him in this Texas offense because no disrespect to Auburn, but it's kind of a little bit of a, you know, half read kind of offense. It's just, you know, the quarterback's turning, looking, read's not there. Okay, I'm just going to check it down. It's not too, you know, complex. So I'm excited to see him kind of open up that route tree, show off those hips, show off that ability to run routes down the field. And with Arch Manning, it's going to be fun to watch.
One more off the board that you want to talk about out of LSU.
Yeah, Jordan Seaton, the tackle for LSU. This guy was at Colorado the past two seasons. Again, battled some injuries last year, but he was a high recruit coming out of high school. You look at it, he is very athletic. He pulls and he gets out in the open space. He doesn't look like a tackle. He looks like a tight end moving out there. He has a little bit of technical issues when it comes to the feet and pass setting, kind of using his hands, especially when kind of attacking rushers who are attacking him up the field. But I think when you look at the athletic standpoint, especially where the NFL is going nowadays, I think teams are going to fall in love with Seaton. He has all the athletic traits you want, and I'm excited to see what he can do in that Lane Kiffin offense at LSU.
Daniel the Draft Nick, delivering the goods every week on the Football AZ Show. Thanks.
Thanks for having me, Brad.